Glad we can hear you.
Yeah, that's a relief.
Okay. I think we're all present, Mr. Chairman, but we'll to begin.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and call the meeting to order and establish a quorum, if you could. Peter, it's 3:06 p.m. on Sunday, the 22nd of May.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Member Behnke?
Present.
Member Borromeo?
Presently present.
Member Simpson?
Here.
Member Markham?
Here.
And Chairman Binkley?
I'm here.
All members are present and accounted for.
Okay. We've got a meeting before us and a proposed agenda. I look for a motion to adopt the agenda as presented.
Mr. Chair,
Member Markham, so moved.
Okay. I heard about three there. The first one I heard was Bud, I think, that said so moved. Is there a second for adoption of the agenda?
Point of discussion, I have a friendly amendment. This is Nicole.
Well, let's wait till we get a second, see if there's a second. Is there a second the motion?
This is Member Markham. I second the motion to adopt the agenda.
Okay, there's a motion before us to adopt the agenda as presented. Nicole?
Thanks. Per our previous practice, I'd like to add public testimony to the agenda.
Is there, so you're making a motion to amend the agenda as adopted, or amend
yes.
the motion to adopt the agenda?
Yes, we have a longstanding precedence of taking public testimony at our public meetings, and this is a public meeting.
Mr. Chair,
so there's a motion to, go ahead.
I also have an addition I'd like to offer to the agenda. I'm not sure if this is the appropriate time to do that, or if we first take up Nicole's suggestion.
Yeah, I think we can take up Nicole's suggestion. I guess it's a motion to amend, amend the motion, which is to adopt the agenda as presented. And I would assume, did you want to second that motion, Melanie?
I will second it. Just note that I've got one more addition to make, too.
Sure. Okay, there's a motion before us to amend the original motion to adopt the agenda as presented. Nicole, do you want to speak to that, your motion?
Just briefly to say that we have, from the beginning of this process, been taking public testimony at the beginning and the end of our hearings. I'd like to continue with that process. As you can see from my before this recent filing that we did, Melanie and I, if you look in the emails, there's a long history of me wanting to preserve the public's participation in the reapportionment process, and I see no reason to set it aside at this late hour. Thank you.
Yeah, just a note, of course, that was our practice, and I think it was a good one, really, to begin our meetings and close our meetings with public testimony when we were, as you just stated, looking at reapportionment or redistricting. And that was the case, and I think it worked really well. I see the purpose of this meeting maybe a little differently. It's not really to talk about the redistricting itself in terms of mapping and where district lines should be drawn or that Senate pairings should be combined. But really, this is to provide an update, one, from council on where we are in the litigation, and also really to address Nicole and Melanie, your concerns that you raised about the direction of litigation and really the legitimacy of the litigation committee. So I see those two things as the primary purpose of the meeting, not really to talk about which map to choose or where to draw the lines or what the value of the of what we've done in terms of that is. So I would say that it's more of an internal board matter for us to discuss and decide on, and I would be opposed to the adding additional public testimony to that. I don't think it serves any purpose.
Mr. Chair, this is Melanie.
Yeah, go ahead, Melanie.
I'd like to speak in favor of the motion. First, we were told that the reason we couldn't allow public testimony or that this meeting couldn't even be Zoomed or streamed is because it was called at the last minute and there were no LIO staff available to allow for the public to participate. But now you're saying substantively you don't want to hear from the public. Initially, you know, because this meeting was called at the last minute, even though Nicole and I have been asking for a meeting since the East Anchorage filing and then the Girdwood filing, and even before the illegitimate appeal was filed, we've been calling for a meeting. So that would have allowed LIO to properly staff this, allow public testimony. We've allowed public testimony in the past at every meeting that we've opened, not even just when we were mapping, that I can recall. Pretty much all our meetings, we've allowed the public to participate, observe us, and to offer their testimony. So I speak in favor of the motion to add public testimony to the agenda.
Mr. Chair?
Yeah, go ahead, Bud.
I agree that there's a role for public testimony, but I agree with what you, Mr. Chair, said earlier, that this probably isn't the place for it. I would support opening probably our next meeting if we have some rulings from the court that give us some further guidance, particularly if we have to revisit any of the mapping. There's definitely a role for public testimony there, but I don't think we need to go into it at this meeting.
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah. Is this Bethany?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. This is Bethany.
Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I do see this as a procedural matter. I would note for the record that the board has not always taken public testimony at all of our meetings when we are doing mapping or making decisions such as drawing lines and doing pairings. We've certainly always given lots of opportunity for the public to weigh in those instances. And if we were doing that, I would absolutely want to be sure that we had public input. But I do see this as a procedural matter. We're not making those sorts of decisions. And we have made the meeting open to the public, and so the public is able to participate. It's a transparent process. And the other thing I would note, Mr. Chairman, is that we have not given public notice for public testimony. And so anyone who was participating as part of public testimony today would have probably been directed to by other folks. They, you know, the general public would not have been made aware of that opportunity, and I don't think that would be fair to the public for public testimony to be held if they hadn't been given notice of such. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, this is Melanie.
Yep. Nicole, I think I heard Nicole there first, Melanie.
Okay. Thank you. I just want to note for the record that yesterday I did reach out to Peter and I asked him to set up a means by which the public could watch the committee hearing, the board hearing. And he said that it was a sunny day in Juneau. It was impossible to get the state workers into the office to publicize this over the streaming. And I did have a very interesting conversation with Peter yesterday. So this isn't the first time and the only time that I've been asking that we continue to allow the public to participate in our hearings. And I'm going to say that I also disagree with Bethany. Public cannot participate. They can listen. It's very much a one-way road for them today, not two-way as it has been in the past. I don't see the harm in setting a time certain hard stop period. I would suggest 30 minutes of public testimony should the public want to give it. Thank you.
Okay,
Mr.
Melanie?
Chair. Sorry.
Yeah, just to Bethany's point, you know, the decisions that we make here today could be very important when it comes to our final map. I do think under number four, the only action that we can consider is to remove our appeal. But otherwise, I would have asked that number four be withdrawn itself. But this is going to be a very big, have consequences for the state for the next 10 years in terms of the outcome of this meeting potentially. So I don't understand why we wouldn't want to hear from the public when what we decide here today could very possibly impact our state elections for the next 10 years.
Okay, I think I heard Bud next.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I just wanted to add that as I understand it, the site, the website has remained open for written public testimony all along, and so we're certainly able to continue taking that essentially 24/7. So anybody that's missing out today can weigh in that way at their convenience as an alternative.
Any further discussion on the motion? Hearing
Mr.
none,
Chair, I ask
just
for a roll
to make
call
sure
vote.
We're clear. Say again.
This is Member Banky. I ask for a roll call vote on the motion to amend the agenda to include the public testimony.
Okay. We can certainly have a roll call vote on that. Do all members understand that this is the motion to amend the original motion to adopt the agenda as presented to allow another segment on the agenda, modifying the draft agenda. So, Peter, if you could call the roll, please.
Certainly, Mr. Chairman. Member Banky?
Yes.
Member Borromeo?
Yes.
Member Markham?
No.
Member Simpson?
No.
Member Binkley?
No.
By a roll call vote of 2-3, the motion fails.
Okay, we're back to the original motion to adopt the agenda as presented.
Mr. Chair, this is Melanie. I make a motion to amend the original motion to add two items to our agenda. I would like, under following litigation report from counsel, I would like to add it that discusses the scope of the legislative committee's authority. And then prior to adjournment, I would like to add board member comments.
Is there a second to the motion?
Mr. Chairman, can I get clarification if that's two separate amendments or one combined amendment?
I'm adding two items to the agenda by one motion.
Okay, thank you.
Is there a second to that motion?
This is Nicole. I'll second it. She said legislative committee, but I think she meant litigation. That's my only correction to the motion, if she'll accept it.
Yeah, thank you, Nicole. Legislation committee, litigation committee. I'm sorry.
Okay, there's a motion before us. Discussion on the motion. Melanie, do you want to speak to your motion?
Yeah, I just want to make sure that we have the opportunity to make some closing comments, like you've graciously allowed us to at each meeting. I don't know that we've always had it actually on the agenda at each meeting, but I wanted to make sure it was there. And then in terms of the scope of the litigation committee's authority, I think that's why we're here today. So we need to discuss that scope of authority before we go into item number 4, which is possible action regarding litigation.
Yeah, I would just say my thoughts, Melanie, were that that would be an item of discussion under 4, would be the authority of the litigation committee. So I would certainly agree with you in that regard. You know, that's kind of what I envisioned in number 4. So, and then with regards to closing comments, I have no problem with that at all.
Well, I didn't see that actual topic, scope of authority of the litigation committee. So if you're assuming it's going to be under 4 and it's like a 4A, I'm just not seeing it there. I still ask that we formally add it to the agenda. It doesn't sound like you have any objection to it.
I don't have any objection to it. How about other board members? Bud or Bethany, do you have any objection to that?
Mr. Chair, I assumed it was covered under that, too. I thought that we were going to discuss that, so I don't have a problem with it.
Mr. Chairman, that was my presumption, too, that was what number 4 was about.
Mr. Chair, I ask for unanimous consent, then, on my
motion to amend the original motion to add two items to the agenda.
Okay, well, is so just to just in terms of the mechanics of this, I see that there's really just one number four then, which would be board discussion and possible action regarding litigation, including discussion about the authority of the litigation committee. Is that fine to have that in one item number four, and then we'll put as item number five, member comments, and then item six would be adjournment.
I would be very happy with that. Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is Member Behnke.
Okay. Is there any objection to unanimous consent on that suggestion? Hearing no objection, that will be the order and the agenda. So first item on the agenda. Oh, no, we haven't voted yet on the agenda as amended. Sorry about that. So now the main motion before us is to adopt the agenda, which has been amended, to include the authority of the litigation committee in item four, item five, member comments, and then item six, adjournment. Is there discussion on the main motion to adopt the agenda as amended? Is there any objection to its adoption? Hearing none, it is adopted. First item on the agenda as adopted is the litigation report from counsel. Is Matt, I assume you're on the line.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair. Can you hear me?
Yep, I can hear you fine.
All right. Thank you for the opportunity to report to the board today. Hope all is well. As the board is aware, there were two more recent legal challenges to the April amended proclamation plan. First, the East Anchorage plaintiffs filed a motion asserting that the amended plan violated the Superior Court's prior remand order and prior findings of fact and conclusions of law. And then second, some new plaintiffs from Girdwood moved to intervene in the case and asserted that Senate District E violated Section 6 of the Constitution and the Equal Protection Clause. Judge Matthews handled that second phase of redistricting litigation in a very quick manner and had all of us working hard to get the matter briefed and presented. The plaintiffs who raised their concerns to the court were also moved very quickly to put those to the judge. And the Superior Court issued two decisions last week on May 16th, late at night. Judge Matthews denied the East Anchorage plaintiffs' challenge. He found that the April amended plan did not violate the court's prior order in any way and that the prior order did not direct the particular pairing of Eagle River House districts as advocated by the East Anchorage plaintiffs. The court granted part of the relief that the Girdwood plaintiffs sought, finding that Senate District E violated the Equal Protection Clause for a variety of reasons that are laid out in a lengthy decision by Judge Matthews. All parties have been mindful of the June 1st candidate filing deadline, and Judge Matthews was clearly aware of that deadline in the manner in which he moved that litigation forward. as you're all aware, the board appointed a litigation committee in December, and that committee has been supervising board counsel since its appointment about 6 months ago. The committee directed me to file a petition for review, which we did first by submitting a notice of appeal and related documents on May 17th, one day after the trial court issued its its decision, and then at the Supreme Court's direction, we prepared and submitted a substantive brief, which was titled a petition for review, the next day on the 18th. And then the Girdwood plaintiffs filed an opposition 2 days after that on the 20th. And so that matter, under the court's scheduling order that it issued on Tuesday of last week, that matter is probably fully briefed. And I expect, you know, sort of just as you all were working hard, that Judge Matthews is working hard and the lawyers are working hard, that this weekend the Supreme Court is probably working hard and reviewing that matter. Two of the members of this board have asserted that the litigation committee acted without authority when it directed me to file the petition for review. And if those two members have filed a brief with the Supreme Court to make that assertion. And so I wanted to also address that issue and make a recommendation to the board. The prior motion of the board in December appointed the litigation committee and gave it authority over day-to-day decisions in litigation. The motion also reserved to the full board decisions that would change the proclamation plan. You know, as I understood it at the time, any change to the boundaries of legislative districts is a decision to be made only by the full board. It's not, that power was not being delegated. In the discussion that led up to that appointment of the litigation committee, the board acknowledged that the litigation would be fast-moving and require quick decisions, and that certainly has proven to be the case. I've had the pleasure to be a litigator for my entire, you know, adult career, and I've never experienced litigation that's moved on the pace of redistricting litigation in the past 6 months. I understood the board's motion in December to mean if the court requires changing legislative districts or if there was a settlement to be negotiated that would change legislative districts, that that was a decision for the board, and that day-to-day management of litigation, including decisions about what motions to file or what litigation strategy to take, those were the decisions that were delegated to the litigation committee. I understand that some of the board's members are concerned that the requirement in the Constitution in Section 9 of Article 6 that board action is to be done by 3 votes, that means the board is not permitted to appoint a litigation committee. I don't read the Constitution that way. I'm not aware of the state Constitution having any prohibition on this board or any entity appropriately delegating its authority by an appropriate motion supported by a majority. I'm not aware of any Alaska case or legal principle of law that would preclude a delegation of authority done by action of the board. As an example, this board hired an executive director and staff who performed a whole variety of tasks associated with redistricting, purchasing, for example. And, you know, when Mr. Torkelson pays your bills, he is acting on behalf of the board. He is technically performing an action of the board, but he's doing so under authority that you've expressly or impliedly delegated to him. I've been a public entity lawyer for my entire career, and my experience in Alaska is that public entities routinely delegate authority to committees and others. So I don't see anything unusual about what the board did in appointing a litigation committee. In fact, my understanding is that 10 years ago, a single board member, the chair, was responsible for managing the litigation that the board faced a decade ago. That's a different approach. I understand some members are concerned that the litigation committee was only appointed to handle a prior lawsuit, and that now we're dealing, the contention is that we're dealing with a different lawsuit. Just as a factual matter, that's not correct. The Girdwood plaintiffs intervened in the existing case. That is, when they filed their legal challenge, they filed a separate motion to intervene rather than filing a new lawsuit. They moved to intervene. Judge Matthews granted that motion to intervene. As a consequence, we are still in the same case. It has the same caption. It has the same case number. It has the same judge. There is not a new lawsuit. So, and I certainly don't mean any disrespect to alternative points of view, I do not see there being any serious issue as to how the litigation committee was appointed or handles its role, that it was delegated by the board. One board member has stated that that person is not going to abide by the litigation committee. I'm not quite sure what that means, but I just wanted to remind that this is an organization that acts pursuant to the will of the board. That is, that, you know, the board is a collection of individuals. It's not any one member. And so just as one member could not adopt a new legislative district without the support of colleagues, neither could one unilaterally countermand a decision of his or her colleagues. So as your lawyer, you know, I have to continue, I'm going to need to continue to follow directions provided to me by the board, by, you know, any collection of at least three of you. And if at least three of you delegate authority to a committee, then I am obligated to follow the direction of that committee pursuant to your direction. So I'm not in a position to take a different action if, you know, one member directs me to do something other than what the board has directed. Two board members have disagreed with the action of the litigation committee to file a petition for review, and they went to the lengths of having a separate lawyer state those concerns in a legal brief that were submitted to the Supreme Court. I think it's appropriate that the board met today out of respect for those members and their concerns. And my recommendation is that if the board desires to clarify or just to address the concern that members have raised, that it would be appropriate to consider a motion today to approve and ratify the litigation committee's decision to seek appellate review of the Girdwood plaintiff's decision and confirm that the litigation committee will continue to supervise litigation strategy until the board has final court approval of a proclamation plan. So while I will respectfully disagree with the notion that the litigation committee acted outside its authority, I don't see any harm in offering a motion today for the purpose of providing clarity and addressing the concerns that are raised by two members of this board. And the last part of my report, I just wanted to, in the heat of a disagreement about a particular redistricting decision, I think we can maybe get lost in the fact that there are also institutional interests that are served by this process. Our Constitution gives us very little guidance. I think one sentence of guidance with regard to how a Senate district should be designed, and maybe a couple of sentences with regard to what a House district should look like. And so throughout this process, certainly I have looked to guidance from the past decisions of the state Supreme Court. I know each one of you has done the same. And so, you know, in the heat of the moment, we may like or dislike a decision of the court or parts of this process. But at the end of the day, what we get through it is final direction and clarity, which is really important it's important for whomever sits in my seat 10 years from now. And it's important, I think, for each of the people to succeed the five of you 10 years from now. And I think, if you read Judge Matthews' most recent decision, he's telegraphing it would be helpful to him or his predecessor or successor. He repeatedly asks the Supreme Court for guidance on novel issues that he addresses in his Kirkwood order. I think that's out of a recognition that, you know, this process results in more direction for future redistricting efforts. So last note is just everybody involved here is mindful of the June 1st deadline for candidate filings. That's been a major emphasis in our court filings. We move for expedited consideration on the 17th. By all indicators, the Supreme Court appreciates that deadline and is working very hard. I expect, again, that they're working right now through the weekend. They've asked us to submit an update or a report if the board takes any action today. So I assume the fact that they want an update today means they're working on a Sunday just like you are. And so I expect the court will issue a decision quickly on the petition. And then depending on what it decides, it could be that you're done redistricting, or it may be that there's more work to do on fairly short notice. And so I would just, as a kind of final point of my report, thank all the board members for their hard work to date and encourage you to please stay in close contact over the next few days and offer some grace with your, I know you're all very busy, but we may need to get a public meeting scheduled on short notice, depending on any further directions of the court. And so I'll look forward to reporting to you on any further decisions we see from the court. And with that, I'll conclude my report. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chairman?
Is that Bethany?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to note for the record that when it's the appropriate time, I'm prepared to make a motion as mentioned by counsel.
Mr. Chair, this is Melanie.
Yeah, go ahead, Melanie.
I'd request that we, since we actually have discussion on this topic as part of agenda item number 4, I request that we discuss this before any motions are made, and I'd like to volunteer to go first, if that's all right.
Sure, I think that's fine. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, Matt, for that update. I'd actually like to note that we've spent more time discussing the technical question that Nicole and I raised to the court. Unfortunately, we had to go that route and file what the chairman would call a minority report, I guess, because we've been continuously ignored when it came to requesting a meeting to discuss the East Anchorage filing and the Girdwood filing. We've actually spent more time now talking about the filing that Nicole and I made than the actual appeal, the filings by East Anchorage and Girdwood. We haven't been afforded the ability to analyze those claims. We haven't had the ability to review our response to those claims prior to them being submitted. We didn't even vote on those being submitted. And if you note, back in February, we did that process. And I accepted the will of the board. We were outvoted 3-2. And it's likely, again, going to go this way, but process does matter. This retroactive blessing of an illegal action itself is contrary to basic board processes. Like I said, we voted in February whether or not to appeal after analyzing the Superior Court's decision. We've had no opportunity this time around to weigh in on this, and we did not abdicate our authority to the litigation committee. We specifically reserved actions that could impact the final plan to the full board, and when Judge Matthews ordered us to adopt an interim map, that affects possibly the final map, too, because he ordered that the map 3B is unconstitutional. So that map that we were considering is currently voided. So to me, any action that we take that could impact our final map has to be voted on by the full board. Process does matter. I actually thought we were going to spend this time discussing the East Anchorage and Girdwood filing. I was excited that we were going to finally be able to discuss those filings and the judge's rulings. One thing that I had asked for, too, during this process is that I be allowed to at least observe litigation committee meetings. I've seen no meeting minutes from litigation committee meetings. My request to observe litigation committee meetings was ignored. One thing that I wonder about is what our council has advised the litigation committee. There was a time in November when I had a sidebar with Matt because I felt he wasn't being explicit enough when it came to advising the full board. He himself had called Bethany's proposed Senate map pairings in November gerrymandering, and I encouraged him to use stronger language as he counseled the board so that we didn't go down this path. The appeal itself fails to address the continued secrecy and the outcome-based intent. I feel like our appeal that we filed is pretty weak. It doesn't address a number of the Superior Court findings, and we're bringing this to the Supreme Court. You look at the language in the motion that was made, which Mr. Singer himself drafted for us, it definitely limited the litigation committee's authority. It did not allow the litigation committee to usurp the decision-making powers of the full board. And like I said, even though I might be outvoted here again, 3-2, process does matter. We adopted our own policies and procedures and formed a litigation committee with very limited scope of authority. And like I said, this retroactive blessing of an illegal action itself, which I guess we're not going to even take that vote today. So we will still not have voted on whether or not to appeal to the Supreme Court. I understand the motion that Bethany is planning to make is to somehow ratify a foregone decision by the litigation committee. That should have happened before Friday, before filings were due. If we are going to ratify an action of the litigation committee, we should have done that before Friday. Those filings are unauthorized by the full board. You can't retroactively try to go back and sanction them. The very fact that we're having this meeting and ratification is being considered, to me, lends credibility to the argument that we never intended to allow the litigation committee to usurp our authority.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to see us use Robert's rules here. There's no motion thus far.
You've told me what you're contemplating in terms of a motion, and we have discussion on the actual part of the agenda as item 4, so I don't think I'm out of order to discuss this, Bethany.
Yeah, I think it's okay to have a discussion on it first, and then we can look at a motion and then debate the merits of the specific motion. I don't have a problem with that. Any further discussion, board discussion?
Yeah, this is Nicole. Can I get in the queue when appropriate?
Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you so much. I want to respond to several things that Matt said. I've got four specific points. But first, I want to bring the board's attention back to the actual motion, because this is the starting point.
There's not a motion. Nicole, there's not a motion before us.
Just let me finish my thought here. I know that we can't see each other here, but I'm talking about the December 15th motion to create the subcommittee.
Okay, sorry for the confusion. Go ahead.
It's okay. It's all right. So the motion language itself, I'm going to read it to everyone in case you don't have it in front of you, but it came from Matt Singer, 3:17 p.m., the first point, it says, I move to appoint a litigation subcommittee consisting of two members to work with a legal counsel and executive director to oversee the pending litigation. In coordination with counsel and staff, the committee shall be delegated responsibility for routine day-to-day litigation strategy. Any final decision that would directly impact our proclamation plan is reserved for decision by the full board. So clearly you can see from this motion here that the purpose of the committee, again, was to, quote, oversee the pending litigation. The only litigation that was then, quote, pending was related to the initial 5 lawsuits challenging our 2021 final proclamation. The committee was not granted unfettered oversight over all litigation, just the pending litigation, which, again, referred to the board's 2021 final proclamation. The word "the" is thus a qualifier here. Second point to this is that the committee only possessed delegated responsibility for routine day-to-day strategy. Nothing in the December 15th motion gave the litigation committee the type of unbridled authority that it exercised from that day on with counsel's help. The motion also makes clear at the end that any final decision that would directly impact the board's proclamation would be reserved for decision by the full board. However, hardly any decisions came before the full board, again, related to litigation after that. And I find it highly suspect that as a drafter of this motion that Matt should have known or knew the limitations of the authority as it related to the litigation committee. He should not have been using the litigation committee to usurp the full board's governance powers. This is something that Melanie and I have routinely brought up. Now to Matt's report, which thank you, Matt. Thank you very much for finally giving us a report because Lord knows I've been asking for one for months. You said that you gave your opinion as to what you understood the December 15th motion to be and the all-encompassing powers that the litigation committee would then possess from that day on. But as early as the 11th of April, I started messaging you, putting in writing that I had serious concerns about the authority that the board had abdicated to this litigation committee, and it started with your response to Holly Wells, and I asked you two times who gave you authority to respond to Holly's letter without running it by the board. You finally messaged back and said it was the litigation committee. Ever since then, I challenged you at least 10 times every time you did something related to litigation. So my message to the Supreme Court and counsel last Wednesday wasn't just all of a sudden out of the blue. I have a long track record of calling you to the carpet and asking, who's giving you this authority? Let's talk about this. Let's meet as a board. To your second point, Matt, in your report that you don't see anything unusual with the delegation of authority and the Constitution about the 2-3 action of the board. If we go down that line of thought, what would have prevented the five of us way back in June from forming a mapping subcommittee and said, these two are going to be in charge of mapping? You know, it doesn't make sense that the board would be able to delegate this amount of authority to a two-member subcommittee when the Constitution requires that actions have to be by three. The third point, Matt, and this is my second to last one, if anybody's counting, you said that it's factually incorrect that this Girdwood lawsuit is a new lawsuit. I dispute that. The Girdwood plaintiffs were not involved in the previous round of litigation, even if it is before the same judge and has the same caption. And if you look at our initial filing to the Girdwood plaintiff's brief, you yourself say here, and I quote, the board acknowledges that pursuant to Article 9, Section 11, any party aggrieved by a new, and you italicized new, decision of the board that was not part of the 2021 redistricting plan should be entitled to seek judicial review. So that, to me, is also signaling that you at one point saw this as a new round of litigation. And then finally, to your last point that you're the board's lawyer, you stopped being the board's lawyer as soon as this litigation committee was formed, Matt. I'm sorry to say it, but you have. We've had some very heated discussions about this. I have reminded you time and time again that you have a professional responsibility to Melanie and I as well. You have replied time and time again that you work for the board, and that means a majority. And right now, it's the three of them against the two of us. So I don't believe that you have exercised your duty to the board. You have exercised your duty to the litigation committee. I believe, and I'm going to take that on faith because I've not been a part of those litigation committee meetings. Thank you very much.
Okay, any further discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Okay, Mr. Chairman. Oh, go ahead, bud.
I'll keep mine short. I agree with Mr. Singer's analysis and interpretation of the authorities delegated to the litigation committee. I endorse those, and for purposes of brevity, let's say adopt them as my comment. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, this is Melanie.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, this is Member Markham. May I make a motion? I've really been trying to. Or are we going to not allow me to make a motion?
Why don't we go ahead? Everybody's had a chance to discuss this. Let's go ahead and make a motion, and then it's probably generally along the same lines anyhow. So go ahead with your motion, Bethany.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I would like to move to approve and ratify the decision of the litigation committee to seek appellate review of the Superior Court's decision about the, I guess it would be the Girdwood plaintiff's legal challenge. And I'd also like to confirm that the board delegates to its litigation committee all ongoing authority to supervise counsel and defend the board's redistricting plans in Superior Court and then also before the state Supreme Court until there's final court approval and until all legal challenges and appeals are final.
Okay, is there a second to the motion?
I second it.
Discussion,
okay,
Mr. Chair.
There's a motion before us and seconded. Melanie, did you want to address that?
As the maker of the motion, aren't I allowed to speak first?
Well, that typically that would be the case. Go ahead. Sorry, Melanie. Bethany, go ahead and speak to your motion.
I'll defer to Bethany.
Sorry, I just want to let Bethany know that this is Nicole and I have a friendly motion at some point. Sorry.
Okay, why don't you go ahead and speak to the motion and then we can keep rolling.
Yeah, so I absolutely believe that the litigation has had clear authority to act. I think that was clear in the decision that we made previously, and nothing has changed about that since we created the committee. What was clear was that the decisions of the board would be related to drawing maps, to drawing plans, to making pairings, but not to litigation, which are procedural matters. I disagree with the Superior Court's decision, and so, of course, I stand by our pairings as previously approved by the board. And so I think that appellate review then is really important. I think it's an important part of the process. I think that it's standard and that we as the redistricting board should want to see guidance from the high court on this. I think it's also important that we let future boards see the court guidance on this. And so I think that this is particularly important for redistricting matters because of the length of time that occurs between redistricting processes. And so I agree with what the litigation committee has done, and I also agree that they had the jurisdiction to do so per our previous decision. So I am in favor of the motion. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, this
okay,
is Melanie.
Okay, Melanie, go ahead, please.
Yeah, I speak in opposition to the motion. I think if that were the case, we wouldn't have bothered with the February meeting following the Superior Court's findings. We've had meetings following the Superior Court findings and the Supreme Court's findings. No such meeting happened here. When we met in February, we did take a vote to appeal to the Supreme Court. Again, Cole and I were outvoted, but we accepted that. This time around, we haven't even had a chance to analyze the Superior Court judges' findings, determine if they're valid or not, and then decide on how to proceed. That should be a decision that's reserved for the full board because it does impact the final map. And then, you know, I can tell that this this vote is foregone. I had placed some faith in Member Simpson, who was a swing vote at one point back when we voted on the House votes, but I know for a fact that his wife was angry. He told me his wife was angry, and he was going to have to go answer to the governor directly after he voted with us on the Anchorage House map. So subsequently, he's voted with a majority on all Senate maps, and I expect him to probably vote with the two of you again on this matter before us. I don't think that we have the authority to delegate to a two-member committee the authorities and responsibilities of the full board. The Constitution is clear on that. So this motion, I think, is illegal. It's contrary to the Constitution. To abdicate our authorities to a two-member committee of the board that will end up making decisions that will impact the final map for the state of Alaska for the next 10 years under which our elections will be held is abdicating our responsibilities. So I will not be voting in favor of this motion.
Mr. Chair.
Yeah, go ahead, bud.
Once again, my wife has been brought into this discussion, and I do not wish to belabor it, but Melanie made a factual representation that is not accurate by any means. Certainly my wife was not angry at my vote, never expressed that or implied it in any way whatsoever. Likewise, nobody in the governor's office ever said, did, or implied anything that was critical of my vote. The people who know me know that however I voted was based on my own judgment, and nobody ever tried to interfere or change that. Every other Republican who ever spoke to me about this and who knows me respected my vote in that regard. Some may have been a little surprised, but not one person spoke to me who was angry about it or objected to it or tried to change it in any way. The only negative comments I've received since that vote have been from the other party, who has been extremely angry, negative, personal, every other adjective you can think of that's bad with respect to my subsequent vote, that it somehow upset the Democrats who are watching this process. So I reject the assertion that my wife or anybody else had any impact or pressured me in any way with regard to that vote or any subsequent vote, period.
Mr. Chair, this is Melanie. I'm allowed to speak to the motion one more time, I believe.
Yeah, I just want to caution members, if you can, to try to be professional and not call into question motives of members or certainly their family members as well, too. So let's be respectful of each other, and we can disagree, but let's try and do it respectfully. Melanie, go ahead.
Yeah, Bud, I'm not trying to bring your wife into this. You brought your wife into this when you told me what your wife said and your phone was blowing up after that vote. You told me that. I don't make stuff up. And I'm not implying that the governor's office improperly influenced you. I have no idea if you've had any communication with the governor's office. I'm repeating what you said that your wife told you, and you're the one who brought that. I don't even know your wife. You're the one who brought her into the conversation with me. When there has been findings of secretive methods and outcome-based intent, and just now your comments, Bud, about different Republicans or Democrats and who's responding to you how, I'm not bringing up party into this. I'm talking about the likelihood that you're not going to vote the right way this time again. So
Melanie,
my remarks.
Melanie, let's keep it to the motion before us and speak to the issue and not personal side issues.
Well, I think it's relevant when somebody tells me that they have been reprimanded by somebody,
I don't think it's relevant to the motion, if you don't mind, please.
I'll cede the floor.
Thank you. Any other discussion on the motion before us?
Yeah, this is Nicole. I had a friendly amendment, remember?
Go ahead, Nicole.
Thank you so much. I would like to amend the motion in one of two ways, whichever way is accepted to the majority of the board. If the majority feels so strongly about this appeal, I think that they should pay for it personally, or they should ask Nat and his firm to dedicate their time on this portion of our work pro bono.
And you're suggesting that to Bethany as a friendly amendment?
Yes, as a friendly amendment to allow her amendment to go forward to support the litigation, provided it's no longer paid for by Alaskans. We're over $1 million in right
now.
Yeah,
okay. I think we get it.
I'm not done, and you may not get it. When we
well, then why don't you make a motion?
Excuse me.
And then we can have discussion on the motion.
John, I am speaking to my motion. Thank you very much.
Yes, but you don't speak to the motion until there's a motion on the floor.
Listen, you just got done giving us a big, nice lecture about being professional. Now, please button it up and let
exactly.
me finish what I'm saying.
Exactly.
Thank you very much.
And
thank
follow the rules, and that would be helpful, Nicole.
I'm speaking to the motion that I'm putting out there. So,
if you want to make a motion, get a second, and then we'll discuss it.
I put it out there. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay,
and
so
again,
make a motion, and I'll ask for a second.
Well,
is there a second?
There's already a motion on the floor, so there would need to be an amendment, right?
Yes.
This is Melanie. I second Nicole.
Your motion is an amendment to the motion that's on the floor, Nicole. And we're looking for a second on it so that we can have discussion on your motion.
This is Melanie. I second the motion to amend the original motion. Is that the right way to say it, Mr. Chair?
That's perfect. Thank you. Go ahead, Nicole.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you returning the floor to me. Back in November, early December, we were incurring a legal debt of around $80,000, which is the gold standard for getting out of a reapportionment process. Now we are looking at legal fees over $1 million. We're going to continue to incur these legal fees as long as the board continues to engage in unconstitutional partisan gerrymandering. It has to stop. We are abusing the public's trust. We are abusing the public's treasury at this point. And if the three of you would like to continue down this road of appeals, I won't stand in your way. I'm just saying you should pay for it versus the entire state. And if you don't want to pay for it, talk to Matt and see if Schwabe will do this next round pro bono. That's what I'm saying. Thank you.
Further discussion on the motion? Okay. Is there – let's go ahead and have a roll call, if we could, Peter, on the amendment to the motion.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Member Behnke?
Yes.
Member Borromeo?
Yes.
Member Markham?
No.
Member Simpson?
No.
Member Binkley?
No.
By a tally of 2-3, the motion to amend the original motion fails.
Okay, we have the original motion before us. Further discussion on the motion.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to clarify the question. You can't end discussion and debate without a 2/3 vote, which would be 4 out of 5. I've got discussion on the motion.
Yeah, go ahead, Melanie.
I'd like some clarity from Matt, since he has the Constitution, I think the provision of the Constitution in front of him. Can you please read aloud, Matt, the part where it talks about the board having to vote on at least 3 members of the board having to vote to take action on behalf of the full board. Can you read that to me again, please, Matt?
Go ahead, Matt, if you could.
Sure. Let me just put it in front of me. The sentence in Section 9 is that a concurrence of 3 members of the redistricting board is required for actions of the board, but a lesser number may conduct hearings. It's part of the 3 sentences that are found in Section 9 of Article 6 of the state constitution.
So, Mr. Chair, continuing on with my discussion, I think this whole motion itself is illegal. We couldn't assume that the litigation committee would have the authority to settle without decision by the full board. Why would we assume that they can litigate without the authority of the full board? I think this motion in itself is illegal and contrary to the Constitution to abdicate our authority as a full board on decisions that will impact the final map, the language from the motion in December, and then per the language in the Constitution. I don't see how we can even be considering this unconstitutional motion.
Further discussion on the motion?
Mr. Chair?
Yeah, go ahead, Bud.
I think any member who considers the motion improper or unconstitutional should vote against it. There's a separate filing before the Supreme Court presented by and on behalf of the dissident board members addressing the procedural question. If there's a problem with it, the court will sort that out. I'd like to proceed with a vote on the main motion if we can.
Mr. Chair, can Bethany please repeat her main motion?
I'm happy to, Member Chairman.
Go ahead, please, Bethany.
I move to approve and ratify the decision of the litigation committee to seek appellate review of the Superior Court's decision about the legal challenge brought by the Girdwood plaintiffs, and to confirm that the board delegates to the litigation committee ongoing authority to supervise counsel and defend the board's redistricting plans both in Superior Court and before the state Supreme Court until there is a final court approval and until all legal challenges and appeals are final.
John, this is Nicole.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead, Nicole.
Thanks. I'm not a Roberts Rules of Order wizard here, but I thought that motions had to be like one topic and one topic only. I was madly writing down everything that Bethany was including in that lengthy motion there. Is there a way that she would be amenable just to ratifying the current litigation that's pending right now? And then if for whatever reason we find ourselves back again, we can revisit the authority of the litigation committee?
I was able to understand it pretty readily, but you can ask that of Bethany, I guess, if she wants to amend her motion again.
I'm just saying, like, she wants to ratify the appeal. She wants to give the litigation new authority. She wants to extend the litigation committee authority. What am I voting on? Which part of that?
All three, I believe.
I'm not saying that I don't understand it. I don't think my competence has been in question this entire time.
Well, it's a legitimate motion, and the chair accepts it as such.
Mr. Chair, this is Melanie. I make a motion to amend the motion to split out the major actions in the original motion into separate motions so that we're clear and we are able to vote how we want on each of those major proposed actions. That was the motion I made tonight. Are you going to entertain a second?
Is there a second on the motion to amend?
Second. This is Nicole.
Discussion. Go ahead.
Yeah, it just seems like we're taking big actions under one motion. And just like Bud had asked that we separate out a motion, I think it had to do with the map and changes to the map per the Superior Court's findings that affected Southeast, he actually separated them out into two motions. I think it's appropriate, and especially for the record, that we separate out major actions that are combined in one long motion. It doesn't change Bethany's ability to introduce each action item for consideration. It just makes it cleaner, and for the record, we're able to vote on the individual major actions. They're big actions that she's proposing, and they're not necessarily tied to each other.
Mr. Chairman?
I guess I would have a question for the maker of the motion, Melanie. Are you planning on voting positively for one aspect of those and not the others?
Any of us could possibly do that.
Okay, further discussion.
Mr. Chairman, this is Member Markham.
Yep, go ahead, Bethany.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would just note that it was mischaracterized a bit by the previous member. The motion is not creating any kind of new new allowances for the litigation committee. It doesn't give them any new authority. It's just confirming what we have already established. It's ratifying what they've already done. This was already decided and voted on by the board, and I fully acknowledge the authority with which the litigation committee has already been operating. So this is really just a procedural matter to ratify what they've already done and confirm that nothing has changed and they're able to continue operating. So I don't feel like there is anything really new or novel as part of this. I'll be voting against the amendment to the motion.
Mr. Chair, that was my understanding, too. It's a affirmation of the existing authorities.
Okay. Further discussion?
Yeah, this is Nicole.
Go ahead, Nicole.
So I find it a little puzzling that if the litigation committee possessed the authority that the three majority members purport that it does, that we even have to have this meeting to ratify decisions that have already been taken in this last round of litigation with the Girdwood plaintiffs. And I think the sheer fact that we're holding this meeting with hardly 24 hours notice on a sunny Sunday afternoon in Juneau and elsewhere throughout the state really lends support to my original email to the court and counsel that this committee is usurping the governance powers of the board, acting in a manner that is completely contrary to what it was intended to do in the first place. I want to put that out there. Thank you.
You bet. And I see it a little differently. I think prior to filing that notice from the dissenters with the Supreme Court, I believe that caused some confusion, and I hope this clarifies that for the Supreme Court. Further discussion. Peter, if you could call the roll, please, on the motion to amend.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes. Member Behnke?
Yes.
Member Borromeo?
Yes.
Member Markham?
No.
Member Simpson?
No.
Member Binkley?
No.
By a roll call vote of 2-3, the motion to amend fails.
Main motion is back before us again. Further discussion on the main motion?
This is Nicole.
Yeah, go ahead, Nicole.
Thank you. I do want to add credence to what Melanie said before in terms of questioning what type of legal advice that the litigation committee has been receiving outside of the full board's presence and purview to be at those committee meetings. And if you go back to the December meeting and listen to the audio, it was made very clear that other members of the board would still be noticed when the committee was meeting, when it was going to make decisions. None of that has happened. It's all happened after the fact. And I really do have a problem with the amount of legal fees that we've spent here in this litigation, because Matt has told me on more than one occasion that he thinks that Bethany's line of thinking is, quote, nuts, quote, crazy, and there's other adjectives that are not very kind to describe her line of thinking. And here we are in court defending a plan to split Eagle River and give it more representation in the House, and I'm having a very difficult time reconciling how the board's counsel in one respect can find her thinking to be nuts and crazy, and then on another
Nicole, please stick to the motion. It really is not relative to that.
Oh, it's completely relative to it, and
No, it's not.
In your opinion, but you and I's opinion have differed in the past, and
so just stick to the motion. Speak to the motion.
I did.
And let's move forward.
I spoke to the motion, and I'm done. Thank you.
Yeah, it's not relevant. It's not relevant, any sidebar conversations that you may have had with our legal counsel.
Mr. Chair, this is not
unrelated to the motion.
It's completely relevant to the strength of this appeal. If the board's counsel thinks that the...
Can you please, Nicole, can you please...
Why are we still appealing?
Confine your comments and your discussion to the motion before us.
I am.
Mr. Chair, this is Melanie. I'd like to offer discussion on the motion.
Yeah, go ahead, Melanie.
I do actually think that what we're acting on here today is something new. We're expanding the authority of the litigation committee beyond what it was initially authorized to do, and it's especially concerning because what it's going to do is allow for the continued secrecy, exclude members of the board from being privy to legal information, decision-making strategy, major decisions that are being made that, like I said, could impact the plan overall. To me, it is creating a mechanism to cloak the secrecy and outcome-based intent that this board has been found guilty of doing by simply trying to legitimize it under the guise of a litigation committee. It continues to work to exclude certain members of the board, and now it's just going to say that it has that authority because 3 out of 2 of the board members voted to allow it to do that. So I think this is creating a mechanism, and like I said, I know I'm going to be outvoted, but this doesn't just impact us now. It could affect the next redistricting board. We shouldn't be setting precedents that if you want to operate in secrecy, that you can do that by creating committees to the exclusion of other board members.
Okay, further discussion? Any new discussion on the motion before us? Peter, if you could go ahead and please call the roll.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Member Behnke?
No.
Member Bromeo?
No, because I think this motion is out of order.
Member Markham?
Yes.
Member Simpson?
Yes.
Member Binkley?
Yes.
Okay. Roll call vote is 3-2. The motion carries.
Okay. Next item on the agenda, item 5, is board member comments. Any board members wish to make a comment?
I do, Mr. Chair. This is Melanie.
Go ahead, please, Melanie.
First of all, I'm glad we actually had a meeting. Like I said, I've been begging, Nicole's been begging for weeks to have a meeting. Even though we might have been outvoted once again, at least this has happened somewhat before the public eye. We were required to make our stance known on record, not behind closed doors, not under some shroud of a board committee. And I still stand by the fact that we took proper procedural actions in February when we decided to appeal that case, and I respected the process. That didn't happen this time around, so I still believe that our filing to appeal was not properly sanctioned, and even though we're now backpedaling and retroactively ratifying it, the court filing deadline was Friday, so we've missed that deadline. And we'll see what the courts decide, whether it's on technicality or merit. I feel confident that the Supreme Court, in its great wisdom and authority, will make a decision, which we'll have to abide by. I do feel like these last few weeks of not having a meeting, first of all, the Anchorage Senate maps are an attempt to silence certain parts of Anchorage voters. The board process has sought to silence those of us who disagree with gerrymandering. And now this meeting, by way of not allowing the public to comment, is silencing the public. And I believe this, it could. This board majority would seek to silence the courts, as evidenced by our chairman disregarding the Supreme Court's order regarding the Cantwell appendage. I'm just baffled by the continued lack of respect for the process. How many times are we going to have to take this to the court? I mean, I guess this is hopefully the last one, but $1 million later, I don't know what it's going to take to be for us to have to say we can't gerrymander. It's that simple. Our filing in the court says that we should have had a meeting to vote on this. I would have respected the outcome just like I did in February, but that didn't happen. We did not have a meeting to vote to appeal. That appeal is not valid. Thank you.
Other comments?
This is Nicole.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead, Nicole.
Thank you. And I do want to say thank you very much to the entire board for noticing a public hearing, holding a meeting today, because it is important and process does matter. And while I agree with Melanie that ultimately the two of us may not have the votes to withdraw this appeal to the Supreme Court, that's not what this is about. It's about, to me at least, it's about following the Constitution, keeping our decisions from being made behind closed doors but out in public so the public can be privy to the decisions that we're making. I know there was some uncomfortable and quite unfortunate information that was disclosed today during the meeting, and it's a shame really that it's come to this point. If we just could have met as a board, I don't think that two of us would have had to secure our own conflict counsel to require the board to have a public meeting. That's all we wanted. That's really all that we know that we are entitled to. And hopefully the next board will do things a little bit differently than this board has, and we'll learn from it as a state. I didn't want to email the Supreme Court and counsel. I did it on Wednesday. I gave the board two full days to get together and hold the meeting to ratify the decision and probably to have moot the filing that we ended up doing, Melanie and I, on Friday. And now as a result of the board dragging its feet and failing to meet, that motion that Melanie and I filed through our independent conflict counsel, which, by the way, for the record, isn't being paid for by the state of Alaska. We're taking care of that on our own, pro bono right now, and we're going to fundraise afterwards for our attorney, but that's another matter. It may be dispositive, and this appeal might not be able to go forward. So I hope that as a board, we have collectively learned from this. As individuals, we have learned from it as well. I do maintain that I am willing to sit down and meet and work collegially with the board to do our constitutional duties, but I'm not going to rubber stamp decisions that are made with two of us instead of all five behind closed doors and then find out about it during the public process like everyone else does. That's not the type of board that I was appointed to sit on, and thank you. That's all I have.
Okay. Any further board comments?
Mr. Chairman?
Go ahead, Bethany.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to note for the record that we are not silencing the public. We have been noticing all board meetings as required by law properly. Our board has given more opportunities for public testimony than ever before in the state redistricting process. In fact, the web portal is open for testimony right now, and I welcome comments from the public now and until all litigation challenges are final. So I encourage the public to participate in the process, and contrary to what you've heard, we welcome your comments. Thank you.
Any further closing comments?
Mr. Chair, not a comment, but a request, yep. But I'll defer to Bud, who hasn't had a chance to offer comments before.
Go ahead. If there's a request you've got, go ahead, Melanie, and then we'll close it up here.
I once again request, and this time I'll do it on the record, that we be kept informed of the litigation committee's meetings, decisions, actions, deliberations. Somehow we've been completely cut out of this process by way of this cloak of a litigation committee. And I, in order to fulfill my duties as a board member, I need to be kept informed. And so I request that we be notified when a litigation committee is going to happen. As a board member, I would think I've got a right to observe committee meetings. And if I request that I have the same kind of information be shared with me as is being shared with committee members of this board.
Okay, thank you. I'll just maybe close it up just with a couple of things. One with regards to costs. There have been about $1 million to date spent on litigation and legal work by the Alaska Redistricting Board. But to give the public some comparison, the previous board 10 years ago in their deliberations and getting to their final proclamation plan spent approximately $3.5 million. So it's not usual that there are very high legal costs associated with redistricting. That went over a number of years, as we anticipate this well. This time, we've already been at it, I think, a couple of years here, close to. And it may go longer. We don't know. But it's not unusual for those kind of sums to be spent by redistricting boards. Also, it's not in litigation. It's sometimes strategic and sometimes adversarial in looking at it. And there's no secret to the fact that two of the board members have dissented from what the majority had desired in terms of the final map and in terms of how the litigation was approached as well, too. So it's unfortunate that that's the case, but that's the situation we find ourselves in. And so it makes sense to confirm, at least to me, confirm the authority of the litigation committee and to proceed in terms of carrying out the board's wishes. With that, I'll look for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Motion before it's been seconded to adjourn. Any discussion on the motion? Any objection to the motion? Hearing none, we're adjourned. Thank you all.
Bye.
Your host is exiting the conference.